Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 72 of the JB Sism Show. Today, we're talking five powerful traits that make leaders great. We're going to be learning to be leaders of character.
Do you have a message to share and wonder, how do I get heard? Broadcasting from the beautiful lakes of Minnesota and the Twin Cities, welcome to the JB Sism Show. This show will motivate you with clarity and help you find your voice so you can take your message to the next level. Now, here's your host, Jason Sism.
And my goal each and every week here at jbsism.com is to help you stay motivated with clarity so you can find your voice and succeed in life. And I do that by giving you the tools that you need so that you can transform lives and reach the world with your message. Well, my friends, as the political winds are shifting toward who's going to be the next president of the United States, we have an idea of who we want the highest office to be held and what leader we want. But as we take a look at the candidates on both sides of the aisle, there are those we love and those we don't. There are good leaders, average leaders, and bad leaders. Well, in today's episode, I want to answer the question of what makes a great leader. I want to walk you through the five principles that really do make great leaders. And as a pastor with leadership issues on a weekly basis, decisions have to be made, and people are looking to me to help them along in their life. Well, I've made some good choices, I've been praised, and I've made some choices where even those in leadership have pulled me aside and said, Jason, let's have a talk. Well, my friends, we're going to get this show going. It's going to be a good one. And yes, there have been those times where people in leadership have pulled me to the side and said, Jason, we need to have a talk. And it doesn't mean that I've been, you know, I guess overstepping my bounds as a leader, but it's just, in a sense, honing my leadership skills. And we can all take time to hone our leadership skills. And this evening, I actually watched the vice presidential debate, and it was quite a fascinating debate, fiery debate. And, you know, to be honest, the whole idea of politics today and the whole political winds, I was opening the show with, the political winds are shifting towards who's going to be the next president or who's going to be the next vice president. And there are pundits on both sides who believe in the issues that they're touting. And there are opponents on both sides who are attacking the other candidates. And when I look at leadership and I look at the kinds of leaders who we want to run our country, I have to ask myself the question, is there really a good leader? And have we had any good leaders in our country? You know, some would say that our current president is a good leader. Others would say George Bush. Others, Clinton, Reagan, Lincoln, George Washington, John Adams. You know, there are people who look at the presidents of our history and they say that person was a good leader. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, what kind of a leader are we looking for? Who do we want to be as leaders? Now, I'm going to put aside the whole political thing right now because honestly, I'm not going to say one way or the other of who's a better leader over who, and I'm not going to say one way or the other of how I'm voting, what direction I'm voting, but I do want to look at the idea of what makes a great leader, because I think we have this idea of what a leader should do. In other words, a leader should give me this. A leader should give me that, but what is it in leadership that attracts people? Because good and great leadership will attract people, And if you attract the right kind of people with good quality leadership, that leader is going to go farther than anybody else. In other words, if a leader is turning around and seeing nobody following them, they're simply taking a walk down a path alone. And great leaders will always have followers. Great leaders will always have people tooting their horn for them. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, if you are in a position of leadership, what kind of a leader do you want to be? Now, let's break it down even further away from the political arena right now. And let's go to your own home. You are a leader in your own home, whether you are married, whether you are a husband, a wife, you have children, and you are the leader of your home. And the question you have to ask yourself, is your family following you, and are you leading your family in a way that is driven by your character? I hope that makes sense. Are you leading your family on the grounds of good character? And that's what really is going to make a great leader. If you have high quality character that is unwavering, unmoving, and you are able to get the job done, and people applaud you because you have been gracious, you've been humble, you've been easy to work with, you are slow to speak, you slow to anger. And I think so many times we see this idea that, well, great leaders have to be loud and boisterous and anger-filled or fear-filled. And I don't think that's the case at all. I think great leaders are great listeners. I think great leaders are slow to speak, and they are slow to anger. But really, they are people who align themselves with God's word. And they're people who say, yeah, that's the kind of people that we need to be following. And so, you know, for me, I'm a pastor at a church, one of the pastors at a church. I'm not the pastor. I'm one of the pastors. And leading people comes with a lot of responsibility. I think of the line that Peter Parker's father, Peter Parker's uncle gave him after Peter ran away and did some things. I don't know if you've seen the first Spider-Man movie, but anyway, he said, Peter, with great power comes great responsibility. And after his uncle dies, Peter Parker remembers that, and he knows that because he's in a position of leadership as a superhero, he has great responsibility and great power, and he has to bide his time and not jump. In other words, don't just jump into action. Take the time to assess the situation before you speak. And one time, I really dropped the ball on that. It was a Sunday morning, and our sound guy didn't quite follow the instructions I had laid out. And I was having a bad day to begin with, so never, if you are in an area of leadership and you're having a bad day, this is where what I'm going to talk about today comes into play, because I snapped at him and I about bit the guy's head off, and I'm like, you know, no, this is how it needs to be done because I said so, end of discussion. And that was a really bad leadership moment for me, because that really put us on the outs for a while, and I had to go back and apologize to my sound guy. And you know, we're good friends now, and he and his wife are no longer part of our church community. They moved to another state, working at a church there. But he called me up recently, and he said, Jason, I got a question for you. Can you help me out? And I answered the question as best as I could. And, you know, we're good friends. We've had a lot of good talks. And, you know, the thing is, a good leader is going to stop himself and apologize and make things right. And that's one of the things that I have tried to do in my own life, is not jump to a presupposed idea of this is the direction I want to go, this is how it has to be done, but really learn to listen and work with my fellow leaders, work with my fellow team to see the best outcome. And that's what it takes to be a good leader, is stopping, listening, working with your team so that you can have the best followers that the world has to offer. Well, so today we're going to be talking about the five principles or five traits that really make great leaders. And I want to answer this question, what makes a great leader? And I've thought long and hard about this. This is actually based off of an email I had sent out to those who are on my email list. And periodically, if you are on my email list, I will send out emails, a little bit of instruction, a little bit of encouragement, and a little bit of training. And I want to pour into those on my email newsletter list. Now, it's probably been a few months since I've sent something out outside of my blog. And that's just because things got a little crazy at the church, and I've just have needed to focus my energies there, and so I've just mainly been focusing on the blog and on this podcast. But I'm going to be starting up sending emails out on a regular basis, encouraging those on the email newsletter list. Now, if you are not part of my email community, I encourage you to be part of my email community, because I will email you personal emails just to connect, just to stay on top of things. Now, again, like I said, I've not been on top of that the last few months here, but I'm going to be starting that here again. But if you want to be part of my email community, I encourage you to go to jbcism.com, and on the front of the website, you're going to see it right there as you land. You're going to see a place where you can enter your name and email address. Just enter your name and email address. I'm going to give you a free ebook as my way of saying thank you. But then you're going to get every blog post, every podcast right into your email inbox, as well as periodic emails from me taking you deeper, taking you to the next level. Because my goal, my desire, is to give you the tools that you need so that you can transform lives and reach the world with the message that God has on your heart. And so as we begin our topic really today, and I know I've touched on it a little bit, and I'm not going to edit anything down today. I'm basically just speaking from my heart today. And if you want to find the full show notes that I have a whole blog post written over at jbcism.com/072. So jbcism.com/072. And you can read the full show notes there as well. But number one, what makes a great leader? Number one is great leaders are humble. Great leaders are humble. Now, before I was a pastor, I worked at Rainbow Foods in, Rainbow Foods no longer exists. But I worked at a grocery store in the Twin Cities called Rainbow Foods. And I worked with some really great leaders, really great managers who trained their staff well. But then I also worked with people who were very power hungry. And after the leaders that I really liked had left, I was left with these people who were just unwilling to listen, unwilling to bend. And it was just, it was just hard because there were times where they would say, no, you need to stop helping customers and do what I've told you to do, and the customer can wait. And they were saying this in front of a customer. And I'm like, really? You're seriously going to make a customer wait for me to get on my hands and knees and scrub this little piece of the floor? Come on, that's a little ridiculous. The floor can wait. And that's what I told them. The floor can wait. And I said, I'm going to help this customer. I will be with you in a second. And my manager walked in. So this was the store manager who was talking to me like this. My manager walked in and she goes, Jason, you know, get off your high horse and do what I've told you to do. Do what he's told you to do. The customers can wait. And I'm like, who are you people? I was really frustrated. And they were unwilling to listen, unwilling to bend. And I looked at the customer and I said, I'm sorry for both of their actions. Customer came to me later at another time and said, well, I'm sorry they treated you the way they did. I would have much preferred to have you wait on me. And that tells you the kind of character that I try to have. I try to have a character of humility. And what they showed was not humility. I worked for another company in the Twin Cities, a retail company, and I didn't care for my boss. And I think the main thing is she always found something wrong with the work I did. Instead of praising me for what I did and then encouraging me to do better, she always pointed out what I did wrong and said, don't do it again. And then, get this. I had other employees in the store come up to me and say that my boss had it out for me, that she had asked them to spy on me. And they said, you are actually the best worker that they have hired for that department. And I would go out of my way to help customers. I would answer customers' questions. It didn't matter what department it was. I would walk a customer there. And I went out of my way for the customer, and she finally fired me. And she goes, I'm firing you because you talk too much about God on the job. What? I didn't talk that much about God on the job, but yet she fired me because I was a Christian. And It was a very hard lesson I learned in humility in leadership. And that's because I've worked with leaders who have not been very humble. Now here's the deal. Humility is something that we don't see a lot of in today's leadership. So whether it's in government, it's in business, or even at home. I mean just look at the political field right now. There is very little humility that's out there. And yes, you see pieces of it on both sides of the aisle, but you don't see a whole lot of leaders in government today who are humble. You see a lot of people in business where they are lording over their employees, and it's all about them, and they have very little humility. They're unwilling to admit when they're wrong, or unwilling to say, yep, that was me. Instead, they pass the blame or pass the buck onto somebody else. You know, it's really easy for people to kind of take their position and abuse it simply because they're a leader. But in today's business environment, churches and government, we more than ever need humble leaders. We need them to step forward. We need people to lead. The question I think we need to ask ourselves is, what really is humility? What is humility? Well, the Bible says that humility is meekness. Humility is meekness. In other words, it's a quiet strength. Meekness doesn't mean that you are a pushover. Meekness and quietness and humility doesn't mean that you don't have strong convictions. It means you have a quiet strength. And this only comes by submission of oneself to God or absence of self with a desire to lift others into a better life. And that's the goal of a great leader. The goal of a great leader is to help people live better lives. And if you strive to do that, if you strive to help people live a better life, then you're doing your job. So number one is, great leaders are humble. Number two, great leaders are slow to speak. They're slow to speak. And going back to the political field, if you watch the presidential debate a week ago, or you watch tonight's, or I guess since you're listening to this, yesterday's vice presidential debate, they're not, nobody, all four of them, they are not slow to speak. listening is a lack that a lot of leaders have. Listening is something they lack. And again, look at the politicians. The media ask a question, they sidestep it with their own agenda, their own message. They want to get their points across instead of really hammering the question head on, like a normal person would. All these people are kind of doing their own thing. And, here's the deal. There's nothing wrong with touting your own message. There's nothing wrong with, being strong in your convictions. However, if a leader truly is to listen, they have to be slow to speak. We find in the book of James. Book of James is in the New Testament of the Bible. James 1:19 says, "Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." I mentioned that earlier. That we have to be slow to anger, slow to speak, and quick to listen. The deal is, listening is one of the greatest ways that we can show respect for those who are leading. Listening exudes confidence. And here's the fun part. When trouble and conflict arise, and face it, my friends, they're going to arise. When trouble and conflict arise, try to see the issue from the other perspective. In other words, St. Francis of Assisi said, "Seek to understand before seeking to be understood." Does that make sense? Seek to understand before seeking to be understood. Going back to that incident where I unloaded on I unloaded on one of my team members, and I was pulled aside by the senior pastor, and he said, "Jason, you could have handled that a lot better. You name-dropped me, and that's not the way to handle this. The way to handle this is listen to their viewpoint and then come to an agreement together." And that's one thing I didn't do. Now, I've come a long way in that, where I will try to seek and understand what people are saying before I make my request known. In other words, listening is, I think, the greatest way that we can show respect for those who are leading. Listening, like I said, exudes confidence. And so when we do come into those conflict issues, when we do find ourselves facing troubled waters, when we take the time to listen, we say, "Yep, okay, I see your point. Now let's take this piece of your point. Let's take what I want to accomplish, and how do we marry the two of them together?" So in other words, seek to understand before we seek to be understood. So number one, my friends, is great leaders are humble. Number two, great leaders are so slow to speak. And number three, great leaders learn. You know, there's a longing question that I think people desire to be answered. Great leaders are born, or are great leaders made? Here's the deal. I think it's both. I think there are those who are natural at leading. It just comes really easy for them. It oozes off of them like it's something that we could tap into. We wish we could tap into it, but we really can't. However, the vast majority of leaders are those who have learned to lead through trial and error. It didn't come easy to them. You know, for me, leading doesn't come easy. I have to really think about what I'm going to do, think about what I'm going to say. I'm much more of a person who says, I'm just going to do it because I think I have a better way. And there's nothing wrong with trying to do everything by yourself, but if you're going to lead, you need a team of people to lead. You need people who are going to follow you. And you know, if we want people to follow us, we have to take the time to, one, be humble, two, listen, and then three, learn how to lead through trial and error. I had done a podcast on the topic of leaders who are readers. But it's more than that. Leaders should be listening to podcasts like this one. They should be taking courses to perfect their knowledge. So what I'm trying to say is leaders learn. Leaders are learners. Leaders are readers. You know, if leaders don't learn, they're never going to accomplish anything. And they're not going to accomplish great things. And the deal is, people are going to stop following. The artistic director of the Stratford Shakespeare Festival, Antoni Cimoloni, I think that's how you say it, Antoni Cimoloni, he says this: there is something to be learned every day, both by looking in the mirror at yourself and by looking at the people around you. You know, if you want to take your leadership to the next level, you have to start listening. You have to start learning and be willing to learn how to be a leader, because it doesn't come easy for a lot of people. And if you really look in the mirror and you say, how can I lead today? How can I help somebody go further in their life? You're on the path to being a leader that people want to follow. My friends, you're listening to the JB Sism Show. So we've been talking about what makes great leaders. And I mentioned that great leaders are humble first. You know, they have a quiet strength. They submit themselves to God. Or in other words, they do everything they can to have an absence of self with a desire to lift others into a better life. Secondly, great leaders are slow to speak. In other words, as James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And then number three, great leaders are learners. In other words, they're not always just born and made. Leaders are designed by learning, listening to podcasts, reading topics of leadership, taking courses to perfect their knowledge, going to conferences, interacting with like-minded leaders. If leaders don't learn, they will never accomplish the great things. And then guess what? People are going to stop following. And if we want people to follow us into the future, into the place that we want to lead them, we have to know where we're going. We have to have vision. We have to have vision. I mentioned in two different podcasts back in February, episodes 42 and 43. So jbsism.com/042 and jbsism.com/043. I'd mentioned that vision is like wearing glasses. Vision helps you see where you're going. Mission helps you get there. Mission is like the map for you, but vision helps you see. So vision is your vision, or vision is your eyeglasses to the future, so you know where you're headed. And if you don't know where you're headed as a leader, you're going to fail. So great leaders have to learn. Great leaders have to design a plan to move forward. Number four, great leaders don't act impulsively. And this is where I'm coming back with vision, making a wise decision, knowing where you're going. You know, to be a leader that enacts change and empowers other people, acting impulsively won't get you there. And so it's not bad to think out of the box. It's not bad to go that direction. But the mentality of smart leaders, they're not going to do that. It's only going to slow down forward progress. See, if you want to act impulsively and you want to do kind of whatever you want as a leader, okay, great. You just may not have people following you. But if you have a vision, you are wise to ascertain situations, to act quickly. You make a decision that is born out of time and patience and knowledge. You act quickly, you show wisdom in any decision-making moment. When you do that, people are going to follow you, and they're going to say, this guy has it together, this guy knows what he's doing. And then, once people know that, then you can have these out-of-the-box mentality moments. But if you're always thinking outside of the box, and you don't have a clear-cut vision of where you're going, you're going to slow down forward progress. So don't rely on your emotions to make a decision to move forward. Act impulsively and you're going to regret it later. You act quickly after making sure you know the direction you're going to go. You're going to find a team willing to follow you no matter where you lead. So once you know the direction you're going to go, once you have a vision in place, act quickly. And then you'll be able to move forward. I hope that makes sense. Number five, great leaders care about their character. And this is what this is all building up to. You know, I think this is the number one reason why we see leaders falter and fail all the time, over and over again. You know, look at Joshua Duggar last year. You know, people looked up to him on the TV show 19 Kids and Counting. All the while, he was secretly living a double life. And I talk about that in episode number 25, and this is before I had called it the JB Sism Show, so this was back when it was called Crosstalk Online Radio, episode number 25, so jbsism.com/025, I talk about the destructive power of pornography, And that was kind of my response to the Joshua Duggar incident. You know, look at Ted Haggard from the, evangelical world. He fell. He failed. You know, look at former President Bill Clinton. You know, they all had these moral failings. And we learned the truth about their character. My friends, if you really want to take your leadership to the next level, watch your character. Watch your character. Because you may be a great leader. You may have done great things. But if you fail in your character, you're going to fail at everything else in life. And we read in the Old Testament or in the Hebrew Scriptures, Numbers chapter 32. It says this, but if you fail to keep your word, then you will have sinned against the Lord. And you may be sure that your sin will find you out. You know, my friends, character is something that is missing today. But it's up to us. It's up to leaders to choose to step up to the plate. You know, remember, what you do in private will haunt you in public someday. We're told by Jesus to make sure our yes is yes and our no is no. Character is about aligning your beliefs with your actions. Mahatma Gandhi. Gandhi. I'm not editing this, so whatever. I totally screwed the guy's name up. Gandhi said this. Your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. And your habits become your values. And your values become your destiny. You know, we all desire to see success, but my friends, sometimes success is elusive. But remember that leadership is learned and improved over time. So take these five traits to heart, and you will take your business, your church, your blog, what your writing, whatever you want to the next level, your family. You know, I guarantee it, you're going to see your life succeed. My friends, answer this question on today's blog. Where can you improve in this list? What would you add? My friends, thank you so much for listening to today's show. I hope you enjoyed it. If you could do me a favor, head over to iTunes and subscribe to the show. And leave me a rating and a review right there. My friends, God bless. I will see you right here with episode number 73 next week. Bye-bye for now.
Thanks for listening. This has been the J.B. Sism Show. You can find the archives of the show at jbsism.com or on iTunes. Don't forget to visit jbsism.com to download a special ebook when you sign up for the free newsletter. You'll get new episodes, updates, and so much more. This podcast is copyright Jason Sism and Sism Enterprise, all rights reserved. Until next week, stay motivated with clarity, take your message to the next level, and find success in your family, ministry, and life.